Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I have invited author Carol Sequoy to the program, and she is here to talk to us about her really humorous, satirical new novel, The Bag Lady War. A little bit about Carol. Carol grew up in Oregon, enjoying the closeness and clamor of a family of nine children. She met her husband, Jack, on a blind date at the University of Oregon, and they lived in Southern California for many years, where Carol was active in the community while raising their family of five daughters. When the last child was off to college, Carol became the SAT coordinator for the Stanley H. Kaplan Education Center in Orange County. Carol and her husband, Jack, have traveled extensively, sometimes with a hiking group and other times with friends or on a tour. When not traveling or hiking or spending time with their family, they're usually at the gym, in a class at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, or Carol is writing. After Jack's retirement, they moved back to Ashland, Oregon, where Carol is a volunteer for the Tutor Guild of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Carol and Jack have been married for 57 years, and they have 8 grandchildren. So I'm just so excited to talk with Carol today and pick her brain a little bit for this wonderful novel that she wrote. So welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Carol.
Good morning, Juanita.
Good morning. This is such an interesting and funny and really thought-provoking book that you've put out. So really, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yes, it's just hit shelves, and you are getting some great reviews.
I am, and I'm frankly rather startled. I didn't think anyone would take me seriously, being a kind of an old lady on her first book, but somehow it hit some raw nerves, and people have picked up on it.
Mm-hmm. They really have. And so that was something I was wondering if this was, I thought it was your first book, but I just wanted to clarify that this was, in fact, at this point in your life. I mean, this is a great story for you to be getting a book out at this point.
Well, thank you. It was fun, I must say.
Yeah. Why did you decide to write a book now?
Well, I've always been writing newsletters for different groups and things. I've always enjoyed writing. I started a book many years ago about my Hopi Indian godfather, which I never finished, and I do intend to do that. I don't know. I was listening to the radio one day, and another assault on the Social Security Fund, and it just hit me wrong. I thought and I did some research and discovered how the Congress has one president after the other tangled up the fund and used it for other purposes and let the old folks worry about whether they would even receive Social Security anymore after paying into it for so many years, and it made me angry. So I decided to write about it.
Well, that is one of the big topics that you do take on in this book. And so is this an issue that you see is a concern for a lot of your friends and a lot of the aging community?
Well, I do. Every time they come out lambasting the old folks for living too long and using it up, when if you look into it, you will find that it's not because they are living too long and using it up, but that the Congress is using it for so many other things. If you can imagine, the Social Security Fund is a cash cow. Every person, every working person in America paying into it, it's just instant money. And it was piling up, and starting with President Johnson, they couldn't stand to see all that money piling up when they would like to use it for other things. So they began to use it for other things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many people whose savings have simply eroded due to inflation, many of the older folks,
mm-hmm.
and they get to the end of the road here, time to retire, and their money just doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's a real hardship for these folks. They're trying to do it on their own.
That's very scary, I'm sure.
Yeah, I fortunately we're not in that situation, and maybe that's why it was easier for me to write about it.
Mm.
But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing. And in looking up the figures, excuse me, the figures on the older folks in America, in our country, there are more old folks living below the poverty level than in any other, well, shall I say, wealthy nation.
That's shocking.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in California alone, well, this is the statistic from 2002, I believe, there is 43% of the elderly population who would be considered living below the poverty level without Social Security.
Wow.
And when you add the Social Security to their tiny retirement funds, then that makes 12.5% who live below the poverty level. So that's not a figure to be proud of.
No, absolutely not. And I'm sure at this point in the economic climate, I mean, the concern regarding Social Security is just magnified.
Well, it is, and we don't seem to address that.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, we are very careful, and this was my comparison, we're very careful to address the needs of people in prison to make sure every need is met, 3 square meals a day,
mm-hmm.
roof over their head, clothing, medical, and it just seemed wrong.
Unfair.
Somehow value our prisoners more than our old folks who've worked all their lives to try to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems incredibly unbalanced. It doesn't make much sense, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then you pick up the paper and read about some older person who has committed a crime in order to get into prison. It sounds ridiculous, but not very long ago, the last one that I read about took place in Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Were you aware of that one?
No.
This couple robbed a bank. They robbed a bank, and without a gun, they just walked in and said, "We're robbing you. Give me the money." So they did, and they walked out of the bank and went straight to their motel where they were staying and waited for the police to come and get them.
Wow.
Because he said, and they gave the money back very happily. They said, "We just wanted to get medical care for the wife in prison."
Oh, my gosh.
And they didn't want to stay in prison forever, so they were careful not to use a gun.
Yeah.
That had years. So they simply were put in prison long enough for her to have medical care.
Wow. Wow.
Now that is a twist, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is a twist. It sounds like a novel. It doesn't sound like real life.
I know. But when you consider things like that, and then you read the book, you kind of understand where these ladies are coming from.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about your three heroines. I want to know these women. They are really
they're fun.
Yeah, they are.
Well, so, they're fun because they're based on my mother,
mm-hmm.
my mother-in-law, and one of my dear aunties.
Okay.
And I knew just what they would say in any given situation, so it was just fun writing with them in my mind as I went along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you tell our listeners today about the story and about these three women, this predicament that they get themselves into.
Well, they have the first. It starts off with Josie, who is fashioned after my mother, named Josie, is on her way to the market and coming home across the park that has been taken over by a street gang, and they rough her up and take her money. Well, this is the last straw. She gets back to her little apartment where her friend Mabel is waiting for her. Mabel is my auntie, and they are just so angry to think they have to live behind locks and bars to be safe because this gang has taken over the neighborhood, and and they're not safe when they go out. They don't dare leave their place because they're not safe. And they decide they'd be just better off in prison, where there's also free food and laundry and medical care. And as they get to considering this, they realize that's not a bad idea at all, because they have friends who are wasting away in nursing homes, and they surely don't want to go there. So they realize if they would go to prison, they would get all the amenities, plus they would be in the company of other younger women. And so that's when they hatch their plot.
And they get away with what they're doing for a while, don't they?
Well, they do. They get away with it until they have killed enough bad guys. Well, they're very patriotic. They're very conscientious little gals.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be a burden to the government. So they decide if they would, they have discovered that each prisoner costs the government $40,000 a year just to maintain in prison, let alone all the court costs and the cost of the crimes they've been committing. So they decide if they would off enough criminals at $40,000 a year, that would then relieve the government of that cost, and the government could use it to care for them.
So this makes sense.
This is their plan. They don't want to be a burden to the government.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do. They set out, and they're usually, in fact, always, except for one time, they are attacked first. They don't attack anybody.
Mm.
But when attacked, they do, and they carry their gun in one of their deceased husband's socks.
Oh.
So that nobody will see that they're carrying a gun. And, oh, I didn't tell you that the reason they're so angry about this is that both Mabel and Josie have been widowed by street criminals before the story even starts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they're mad anyway. So when this gang of kids in the park gangs up on Josie, that's the last straw.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when their plan goes into action. And we have a cast of just fun people along the way. It's done tongue-in-cheek. It's a kind of a backwards mystery because the reader always knows what's happening, but the police department has no clue, and so we're watching them struggle to solve this case.
Mm-hmm. Well, how could they even think that it would be these three older women?
I know, ladies in their 80s.
Right.
So that's my story, and again, it was just a fun thing to write because it is so absurd.
Yeah.
And that's what made it fun.
But at the same time, I mean, you really bring to light for the reader in a way that only a satire can, some really big social issues.
And that is true. A satire lets you say things that you can't really otherwise. Well, people wouldn't enjoy reading it otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And satire is really just an imagination, irony, and humor. You put those three together, and you can say about anything you want to.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Now, tell us about the issue of crime and how it affects the elderly population. From what I understand, there is quite a bit of fear, especially just as the world is changing so much. I mean, crime from, I'm sure, when you were young to now has skyrocketed.
Well, we have the confluence of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But believe me, when I was young, we didn't know about, we'd never even heard of such things
mm-hmm.
as drugs. Except the pills you took when you were, but you needed them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then add to that the rampant increase in street gangs. It put those together and scare people about losing their Social Security, and you have a very frightened elderly population.
Yeah.
And most, oh, then they opened the mental institutions. The ACLU interpreted the law that says you cannot incarcerate someone against his will unless he has created a crime. They extrapolated that to include people in mental institutions.
Mm.
So in the 80s, under Reagan, the ACLU forced the opening of the mental institutions and letting the people out. Well, these people couldn't take care of themselves and ended up on the streets, fell prey to drugs, resorted to crime to get along, and it was hardest. Well, they congregate, most of these homeless, in the inner city. And this is where a lot of elderly people also live.
Mm.
So between the mental people who really were not responsible for themselves and the drugs, and well, it's very hard on the older population.
Yeah.
It makes going to town, making just going down to the grocery store a real scary thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that your three ladies have really figured something out here.
Well, they have the answer.
They might inspire some people that are reading your book. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I had one of my book clubs applauded them for being proactive.
Yeah.
That was kind of cute.
That's so funny. You know, you mentioned your book clubs. I know that you have on your website some great information and resources for book clubs, and this is just the perfect kind of book for a club or a discussion group.
Well, that's what I'm finding, and that was the first thing that surprised me. I hadn't really thought of it.
Mm.
That it just jumped up there, and it's people are buying it and reading it. Book clubs from all over have contacted me. I've been invited to many of them as we discuss the book, because there is a lot to discuss in it,
mm-hmm.
of the issues, not just for the elderly, for all of us, about the increase in gang activity. Well, in fact, I have statistics on that are just shocking.
Yeah, so let's hear some of them.
Okay, well, let's see. According to the 1990 Justice Department numbers, in 1990, there were 690 gangs in L.A., in Los Angeles.
Mm.
And that's 1990. Anyway, there are over 1,000 gangs now.
Wow. So almost double.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost double, with 100,000 at least gang members. And that's in one city.
Mm.
That's in one city. And it could be more by now.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Whether you've already written your manuscript or are contemplating writing one, you will need to create a book proposal. ReaderViews has a coaching service to help you create an enticing book proposal for your work of fiction or nonfiction. In fact, ReaderViews will even submit your book proposal to publishers and agents they have created a relationship with, and then they promise to pursue these submissions. Go to ReaderViews.com today and click on Services for Authors to find out more information on book proposals and how ReaderViews can help you. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking with Carol Sequoy. She is the author of The Bag Lady War, and you can find out more about Carol through her website, carolsequoy.com.
But it's growing by leaps and bounds. And, of course, they are often the drug pushers.
Mm.
And they're the ones who just rattle people around, you know, mm-hmm. just for the fun of it,
mm.
as well as fighting among themselves, and which is in the book, too. So you add that to the woes of the older folks, and it life is not the way it was when I was young, when
no.
my parents were facing retirement. Not
yeah.
at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you seem to be a very patriotic woman yourself, and these women that are in your book, they're very patriotic too. So, you know, having lived such a full life, what are your thoughts on the massive change and upheaval we're sort of experiencing in our Western society right now? Like, do you think that it will get better eventually, or are we just kind of hitting a bottom that will take us a long time to get out?
Well, I just don't see any coming back from it.
Mm.
We have the ACLU. I mean, I used to sleep soundly at night knowing they were on guard.
Mm.
I really did. But I'm wondering if they have gone too far in trying to balance the rights of the people, because some people, in my mind, haven't earned any rights.
Mm.
they behave in such a way that I don't think they deserve all the rights that are freely given in a democracy. And as long as we have to deal with this, equal rights for everybody, bad and good, I'm not sure, because it seems that the bad boys are increasing in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion. And I really don't know what in the world is going to become of this country. I think we all know what we would like it to be, but I don't think anyone knows how to get it from here to that point.
How to get there. Mm-hmm. Well, that definitely is in question. We're living in a very interesting, very pivotal time right now.
Yes, we surely are.
Mm-hmm.
And until everybody decides that we're going the wrong way and put their heads and minds and actions together to change it, I'm not sure what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I wrote at the end the Declaration of Interdependence of the American People,
which
clearly says that our forefathers set this nation on the earth, and they pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor to its well-being, which was, you wouldn't hear anyone today pledging their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor to any cause, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But they did.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to fulfill that pledge. But then somehow it went awry, and nobody seems to care much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need is for everyone to realize that you cannot have a democracy unless everyone puts his best shoulder to the wheel.
Right.
Doesn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too many of us are forgetting that and living a life that's just for me only, and forget about the good of the order.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. A lot of greed.
Yeah, and well, we're watching that now on Wall Street, aren't we?
Yes, we sure are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just need more people to get back to basics and understand that in order to have this great nation, we have to do something about it, every single one of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So will you be carrying this theme into your next book and into your future writing endeavors?
Well, I have one book that I'm working on, besides the one about my Hopi Indian godfather.
Mm-hmm.
I have, my next one is called Lightly Dusted Crow, which is a recipe. And the basis there, it's another satire.
Uh-huh.
And that's based on domestic violence.
Oh.
So we get a lot of humor. Doesn't sound like it should be a very funny book. But it is. The recipe, well, it starts with the ladies who are in prison because they have tried to kill their abusive husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get out, they know that this abusive husband is going to seek them out and finish the job on them.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide that they will, and this spreads too very quickly through women's shelters where they're hiding from abusive husbands. They pass this recipe around, and whoever receives the recipe is to off the next person's husband.
Oh,
kind of complicated. It's kind of complicated, but they agree that they will be killed or beaten up again when they get out of wherever they're hiding from their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing to do is to off them.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't do it themselves. I mean, they have to do it. They have to do it for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of complicated to explain, but that's what that one's about.
Oh, that's great, though. That's
a different idea.
Yeah, you have a lot of pistol packing mamas in your stories.
I do. Well, it's because it's the unexpected, and that's what's fun. You just don't expect, especially older women, to go around shooting people.
Yeah.
And these young wives and mothers, with their backs to the wall, they have to come out shooting.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. I love your writing. I look forward to seeing more and more books from you because you have a very unique perspective, and you put it so well in this format of satire. It doesn't surprise me that you're having such a great response at this point, this early point.
Well, thank you, Juanita. Well, it's just all fun writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just let the barriers down and write in now, satire.
Yes, exactly. Now, I understand that you actually, for the Bag Lady War, you did some research in a local prison?
I did. When we lived in California, I went to the the California Institution for Women at Corona, and it took a long time to be given the opportunity to have a tour. I had to keep at them, but they finally obliged, and they were wonderful. Gave me all the information I needed and more besides. And it was, well, this is one of the nicest of the women's prisons. It's the newest and the smallest. It was originally built for 300 inmates because women weren't committing crimes that long ago. Now we have drugs and away we go.
Yes.
But it's now holding about 2,000 women.
Wow.
So each woman originally had a room of her own, and now they're doubled up and they've had to add more building. But yeah, they were wonderful to me. And in fact, I sent the warden a copy of the book when it came out, and one of my nicest reviews was by one of the assistant wardens.
Oh, gosh.
Which was a great pleasure.
Yes. That is so funny. Now, did you see very many elderly women in that prison?
No, there weren't that many then.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't that many at all. Mm-hmm. But the population of them is growing as the inmates in their age, number one. And it is growing, the elderly population, due sometimes to crimes they have committed. Sometimes you pick up the paper and some 80-year-old lady has shot her husband who was trying to hit her over the head with a pipe.
Right.
Or something like this.
What a world we're living in, Carol.
I know.
Gosh.
But then drugs alone, you know,
you
wouldn't think that the older population would be involved with them, but in many cases, it's the only way they can survive
is the
money they get from selling drugs.
Yeah. And
their money isn't going anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
Their spendability.
Yes, yes. And that's a big issue, I imagine, because a lot of retirement money that was put away, due to inflation, isn't worth nearly as much as it was at one time.
Oh, gosh, no. Mm-hmm. Well, I can just give you an example from my own life. When we were first married and Jack was in the Air Force becoming a pilot, we earned $400 a month, and that was a princely sum.
Mm.
A princely sum.
Wow.
And we worked toward having $400 a month at our disposal when we retired. We thought if we could manage that, wouldn't we be on top of it? Well, time went by, and of course all that eroded, and we had to gather a lot more money for our retirement. But there are a lot of people who didn't have any more earning years ahead of them, and they're trying to live on what was considered a princely sum of $400 a month. And what can you do with that amount of money today?
Yes. Yeah.
They work diligently to save that amount of money. And it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just this inflation thing. Each 10 years, I think we have to add another zero to what we have in order to have enough money.
To our savings.
Well, I mean, 400, if you add another zero, you'd have
4,000.
And that would be a nice sum to retire on.
Most definitely. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see when the dust settles how this will all, at this point in the economic climate, we'll have to see what happens. I hope that this whole issue of Social Security is given a huge overhaul.
Well, it's going to have to, because these poor folks are suffering.
Yes.
They really are.
Yeah.
And I think because of this, or the topics that I wrote on, I did get a lot of attention from locally with the radio interviews, TV interviews, and things like that, because it's an issue I don't think that people have really thought about or given much thought to.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an issue that really affects the elderly population, and that population is kind of a forgotten part of society in many ways.
Well, it is, and we've concentrated on so many other things in the meantime, on wars and whatever else. You know, it's they are forgotten. It's not like the old days when the old folks were revered.
They're
discarded today.
So true.
In our stampede to get to the future.
Yeah. So you also, in this book, handle the issue, very sensitive issue, of assisted suicide, and you do this in a very graceful way. I'm wondering why you wanted to take on that issue that really could raise a lot of hairs in people.
Yeah, it could. Well, I think it's a big issue among the elderly, because nobody really wants to live on and on and on when you really are not living anymore. You're just existing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And many folks would just as soon go.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, it's referred back to the American Indian who had no qualms about when there was no more living to do. Their clan would give a big celebration and push them off of a cliff or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, go and join the ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Or put them on an ice floe, as the Eskimos did, and push them out to sea.
Mm-hmm.
And it was considered a gracious thing to do for them.
There was a dignity in that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And we see the tremendous cost of keeping people alive just for the sake of keeping them alive when there's no more living to do.
Yeah.
And many of us, and I'm one of them, who I've told my daughters, all five of them, if you ever hook me up to something when there's really nothing left for me to do or see or know about, I'm just hanging there, if you ever do that to me, I will haunt you. Hoping to scare them out of it.
That's funny.
So this is, it's an important issue to me because, well, as you probably know, Oregon passed an assisted suicide law only to be struck down by the Supreme Court.
Mm.
And here in Oregon, we still are going to fight for that.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Is there any states that have actually, that are holding that?
No, I think Oregon was the only one,
mm-hmm.
the first and only, and then it was struck down. We're still fighting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get it. We'll hope to get it back again.
Great.
And just never mind the cost to the family of keeping someone alive for years, you know, or conceivably.
Mm-hmm.
And that money really could be spent in another way, and the older person would, now they'd have the choice, you know, if they don't want to leave this earth, then of course you wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many who plead to do this,
mm-hmm.
and are not allowed to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's to those folks I speak.
Yes. Yes, it's very tragic because, you know, we should have that choice really as human beings, I think.
Well, it seems that way to me.
Yes. Yeah.
And I realize that the courts are concerned that it could lead to murder instead of assisted suicide. But we know it could be done in such a way
mm-hmm.
that it's clearly a blessing.
Yes. Yep, there are ways. Carol, it has been so great talking with you today.
Well, thank you, Juanita. I've certainly enjoyed talking with you.
Yes, I appreciate you coming on to the program, and I am going to be looking forward to Lightly Dusted Crow as well and have you back and hear a little more about how things have been with you. But I know that you are just starting your promotions for the Bag Lady War, so much success to you.
Well, I thank you, Juanita.
Yeah.
I enjoyed talking with you as well.
Okay, wonderful. Well, you have a great day, Carol, and thanks so much.
Thanks, dear.
All right, listeners, that's been Carol Sequoy. Her new novel, The Bag Lady War, is out now. You can purchase it through Carol's website, carolsequoy.com, and that's Sequoy. And it's also available through local and online booksellers. A very, very interesting novel, very thought-provoking and extremely entertaining. This is a great, great book. And if you are in a book club or a discussion group, I highly recommend you checking out this book. It's a perfect, perfect fit. So thank you for tuning in and listening to this interview today. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.